It's 9 after 6 on Tuesday, June 12th. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine. Milwaukee is the latest city in the state to take up the debate of loitering. Last week, a city council committee revived a proposal to let police arrest suspected gang members who, after being ordered, don't disperse. Loitering might seem a lot to debate about, but this hour we'll hear from a city alderman who says cracking down on loitering would bring down crime. On the other side, opponents say the proposed ordinance would racially profile young blacks and Latinos. Milwaukee's not the only city to face this debate. Last year, Madison took up the issue, and Cudahy became the first known Wisconsin city to ban loitering. No matter where you are, you can join our conversation. Will taking a strong stand against loitering take a bite out of crime? Could this proposal unfairly target young minorities? Would you like to see a similar proposal in your community? You can join our conversation at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, and if you're in the Madison area, try our local number, 263-1890. That's 263-1890. And if you want to type in your comments, you can send them by email to talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. We have two guests this morning. In our first half hour, we'll be talking with Tony Zielinski, who is alder for Milwaukee's 14th District, and he sponsored the anti-loitering measure. And then after 6:30, we'll talk with Matt Nelson, co-founder and spokesperson for the Milwaukee Police Accountability Coalition. Good morning, Mr. Zielinski. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Why does Milwaukee need this ordinance?
Well, Milwaukee has a totally unacceptable crime rate, and I think it's important for us to provide our police department with as many tools as necessary to help better combat crime. Now, I'd like to mention that the Milwaukee Police Department has testified in support of this measure in the past, and the Chicago Police Department, which has had this on the books for at least 7 years now, feels very strongly about this being an important tool in helping them combat crime as well.
Could you give us some of the specifics of the ordinance? What is it supposed to do?
Well, basically, what it's designed to do is identify gang members and help prevent them from intimidating neighborhoods. Basically, the criteria that is used to identify whether or not a gang member is a gang member is highly objective. It's the ordinance is very narrowly tailored so as to prevent any kind of abuses in terms of racial profiling and so forth.
Explain how it can do that.
Well, basically, there's five criteria. And in order to trigger this ordinance, any two of the five following criteria would have to be satisfied. The first one is you would have to be under the age of 18, and your parent would have to say that you're a gang member. That's one criteria, but that in and of itself will not trigger the ordinance. The second category is for gang tattoos. Our police department intelligence division has testified before a public safety committee that they have on record different tattoos and what gangs they belong with and so forth. The third criteria is being arrested in the company of a known gang member on one or more occasions. The fourth criteria is being found to be in the company of a known gang member on four or more occasions. And the last criteria is that you are identified as a gang member by a reliable police informant. So, again, any two of those five following criteria have to be satisfied in order to trigger this ordinance. So in other words, if there's an individual that's, or three individuals are standing on a street corner, they got their hats on sideways and they got real baggy pants or whatever else may be the case, that does not trigger the ordinance.
So what is the rationale for this ordinance? The things you're trying to combat would be what? Drug sales, violence, that kind of thing. Those are already against the law. Why do we need another one?
Right. Well, we have a number of loitering ordinances that are ready on the books. In fact, we have not only a general loitering ordinance, we have a loitering ordinance that pertains just to drug dealing. We also have a loitering ordinance that pertains to prostitution. I mean, so we have a number of different categories of loitering ordinances, and this is merely adding to the mix so we can specifically and precisely go after gang members. See, what will oftentimes be the case is you may have three individuals that are gang members on a street corner, which is a public right-of-way, and under the present loitering ordinances, there's nothing that could be done about that. But with this ordinance, the police can order these gang members to disperse. If they don't disperse, then they would be issued a citation. And this year, the fine range will be anywhere from $500 to $5,000 if they refuse to disperse. Now, they also could be fined if they do disperse, but they come back within sight or sound of that location within 3 hours.
We're talking this morning with Tony Zielinski, alder for Milwaukee's 14th District, who sponsored an anti-loitering measure, which passed the Public Safety Commission committee rather in the Milwaukee Common Council. And we're wondering what you think about this. Is this a good idea? Would you like to see it in your community? Is this problematic for you in some way due to the potential for racial profiling? As some have said, what do you think about it? Your chance is here, and where there are phone lines open for you to talk to us and give us your thoughts, ask a question. Here are the numbers to call, 800-642-1234. That's toll-free, 800-642-1234. Or you can call us from Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890, and you can send us an email. The address is talk@wpr.org. I'm John Munson. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 17.5 minutes past 6 o'clock. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson. After 10 o'clock this morning, Kathleen Dunn and her guest examine the life and work of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. That's after 10 this morning. Right now, though, we're talking about an anti-loitering ordinance being considered by the city of Milwaukee, and our guest by telephone is Tony Zielinski, who is the alder for Milwaukee's 14th District, who sponsored the anti-loitering measure. Our phone numbers, if you'd care to join us, and we do have open lines, 800-642-1234, toll-free, or 263-1890 if you're calling from Madison. You can also join the discussion by sending us an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, Mr. Zielinski, this isn't the first time that this ordinance has been proposed. What happened to it the last time?
Yeah, that's correct. The last time the ordinance came up, the mayor threatened to veto it, and it failed on a vote of 8-7. So one person switched in the last moment, and that resulted in the defeat last time. This time around, when I reintroduced the measure, I contacted the mayor's office to get his position, and on this occasion, he said that he is noncommittal at this point in time.
Are there any changes to the ordinance since the first time you proposed it?
Well, the only change is the increase in the fine range. The original fine range was in the hundreds. Now we've increased that from $500 to $5,000 so that we can have more of an impact. And I do have a city attorney opinion saying that we can increase the fine range to that amount, and that's why we're doing that.
You mentioned Chicago and their experience with an anti-loitering ordinance. A lot of cities around the United States have been considering these. What has the success of them been elsewhere?
Chicago is the main one that I've been focusing in on because it's so close in proximity to Milwaukee. I know in 1 year they dispersed 55,000 individuals. The most recent year on hand in terms of statistics, it's in the neighborhood of over 100,000. Over 100,000 individuals were dispersed in 1 year in Chicago using this particular ordinance. But I think, you know, it's important to let people know that, you know, that they have control over their neighborhoods. A lot of times when you have these gang members hanging out on street corners and so forth, you know, people are intimidated to walk down the street, to even go down to the store and get a loaf of bread and so forth. I do know that Chicago, which has you know, been the leader in this on this issue, feels, you know, very strongly about this.
The first Chicago anti-loitering ordinance in 1992 was struck down by the United States Supreme Court as being too vague, and then they rewrote it again in 2000. And so your ordinance is modeled after the more recent version?
Oh, yes. You know, I actually had my eye on this in the early 90s when Chicago moved forward with it, and they were having tremendous success. And there were some legal questions and a legal challenge, and the lower courts did strike down the first version that Chicago had. However, Chicago felt that this was such an important tool for them in terms of combating crime. They appealed this all the way up to the United States Supreme Court of America. And in 1999, the U.S. Supreme Court of America upheld the lower court's rulings. However, they did provide some guidance to Chicago on how they could craft an ordinance of this kind so that it would pass constitutional muster. Within a few months, Chicago incorporated those recommendations, passed the new ordinance, and they haven't run into any kind of legal problems since that time. Like I said, it's been in place for about 7 years now.
You mentioned intimidation as one problem that seems to arise from loitering. What are some of the other things that that result when you get congregations of people that love the kind that you're talking about?
Well, I think that the major issue is the fact that people don't even feel safe in their own neighborhood going out to the store. I know one of the aldermen that represents a very high crime area in the city of Milwaukee originally was 110% supportive of this, said that his constituents are calling him up all the time saying, hey, what are you doing? I got these gang members hanging out in front of my house. Nobody's doing anything. Why aren't you doing anything? And he says, hey, this is what I'm doing. And apparently he told me he was getting some heat from some of the activists in his district, and he just said it wasn't worth the fight.
Well, the activists are insisting that any kind of anti-loitering ordinance is going to unfairly target young black and Latino males.
I think that was addressed with the objective criteria that I identified earlier, and that also flies in the face of firsthand experience with Chicago. Chicago's had this on the books for 7 years. They've come down and testified before the Public Safety Committee. Not once were they able to present just one instance. Not even one instance where they were able to identify where this was used in Chicago for racial profiling and to harass law-abiding citizens. I mean, these are just groundless accusations of which there's no substance to base those upon.
Well, we have a caller who wants to join us, and let's get to that right now. Sylvia in Rice Lake, you're on the air. Good morning.
I'm in favor of a loitering law. I think it's a very good thing, but we have to be very, very careful with this because there are amendment rights that give us the right of free assembly. And we have to be very, very careful what we legislate so that we don't lose those rights.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree 110%. And that's why, I've been following this. And only after this Chicago incorporated the changes recommended by the Supreme Court did I look at introducing this on in the city of Milwaukee. Because I agree 110%. We want to make sure that we safeguard the individual liberties of citizens of this country, and at the same time, we have to balance that and try and do what we can to combat crime without stamping on those liberties. And I think that we've been very careful to make sure that the rights of law-abiding citizens are not trampled on in any way whatsoever.
Is it against the law to be a member of a gang?
No, it is not. To be quite frank, I was looking at that. That's all I know. And it's not against the law to just be a member of a gang. And that would go to the right to assemble and so forth.
But that is there are different things that identify gang members, such as tattoos and so forth. It's got to be a pretty fine line for the police to have to walk.
Well, it's a fine line, for the police to have to walk. But we do have an intelligence division. We do have a number of police officers that are assigned to the intelligence division. And if that's what you do, day in and day out, and you have a number of police officers in that field, it's not as problematic as it would seem on the surface. And I think that if again, that's one of the marvels of of using a model in another community, in this case Chicago, because a lot of these concerns and issues have already been ironed out and addressed.
We're talking with Tony Zielinski, who is alder for Milwaukee's 14th District, who sponsored an anti-loitering measure in the Milwaukee Common Council. It was passed by the Public Safety Committee, and I assume we'll go to a vote of the full council at some point. We are wondering what you think. There's still time for you to get a phone call in, and there are open lines at 800-642-1234. That's a toll-free number anywhere you can hear this broadcast, 800-642-1234. Or you can call us from Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890. And we are also accessible to you at talk at wpr.org. The measure did pass on a 4-1 vote in your Public Safety Committee, and what happens to it next?
Well, it's scheduled to go before the full Common Council for a full vote by the Council. I anticipate that it will be approved this time around. I think that people are fed up with the crime, and you know they want to make sure that our police department has the tools necessary to combat crime as best as possible. And I think that that's exemplified by the fact that the mayor is noncommittal. He's actually waiting to see which way the wind is blowing. Last time he was 110% opposed to it, and now he's noncommittal. That's moving in the right direction. I fully anticipate it'll pass. I think that the city of Cudahy, which passed this last year, showed a significant amount of vision. They do not have the types of problems that we have in the city of Milwaukee, but they understand that the gang problems are starting to or they seem to be creeping in somewhat in Cudahy, and so they passed this just to provide their police department with the tools necessary. So if they do need it, they do have it on hand. I also want to add that their police chief was wholeheartedly in support of this as well. Sheriff Clark, who's the chief law enforcement officer in the county, he's also 110% in favor of this as well. I have Linda Bruin, who's a county supervisor for Milwaukee. She's going to be introducing companion legislation for Milwaukee County for their lands and so forth. So I think that this is, something that will continue to spread. Also, I want to, correct a misnomer. I know it was testified before the Public Safety Committee that the DA, John Chisholm, is opposed to this. I contacted John Chisholm, the DA, right after that public safety meeting, and he assured me that he did not say that he is opposed to this measure. So I want to, clear that up right now.
The mayor said he's noncommittal, but that doesn't mean he'll sign it if it shows up on his desk. What happens if he vetoes it?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't think that the mayor would be foolish enough to veto this. I'd bet just about anything that he is not going to veto this. People in this community have had it with crime, and they're already complaining that there's not enough being done on the mayor's part to combat crime. And if he vetoes this, he's going to have some serious problems. I guarantee you that. There's no way he's going to veto this.
It could become a re-election issue, you're suggesting.
No doubt about it, and he understands that. He understands that the election is right around the corner, and that's why he's a little bit more cautious now. He knows that people want to provide the police department with the tools to better combat crime, and if he's going to be an obstructionist in that path, he's going to have some issues.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Appreciate talking with our listeners and explaining the details of this ordinance.
Great. Thank you very much for having me.
In our next half hour after the news, we'll get the other side of this issue and your calls and emails as well. What do you think about this anti-loitering ordinance? Will it do what Alder Zielinski says it will, or is this a violation of constitutional rights and something that cities shouldn't be using? You get to voice your opinion on that right here. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine this week. It's just about 6:30. Good morning. It's 6:35. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. John Munson in for Joy Cardine this week. This hour, we're talking about a proposed ordinance in the city of Milwaukee that would ban loitering. It's an anti-loitering measure targeted against gang loitering. In the first half hour of our program, we talked with Tony Zielinski, an alder for Milwaukee's 14th District, who sponsored the anti-loitering measure, both in 2006 and its revival this year. It has passed the Public Safety Committee of the Milwaukee Common Council and will go to a vote of the full council, I believe he said, on June 19th. And then it will be up to the mayor to decide what to do next, assuming the ordinance passes. But there are people in Milwaukee who are opposed to this ordinance, and one of them is Matt Nelson, who is the co-founder and spokesperson for the Milwaukee Police Accountability Coalition and is also a part of the Freedom Now Collaborative. And he joins us now by telephone. Good morning, Mr. Nelson.
Good morning, and I hope everyone listening audience is having a safe travel this morning.
Well, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. Your group and the people that you're associated with are not in favor of this ordinance. Tell us why.
All right. Yeah, we have a citywide coalition of young people, students, parents, youth advocates, and community folks that want to urge and that are urging City Hall to shut the door on this particular ordinance and other anti-youth legislation. And, you know, our coalition does have a lot of concerns about it, and we feel that this ordinance overemphasizes incarceration and suppression at the expense of more effective approaches. Also, we feel the ordinance defines gangs so broadly that non-criminal youth could be subjected to the penalties and would be unfair targets of this ordinance. And so you have a situation where last year the ordinance was shot down because the majority of the aldermen felt that it would do more harm than good, citing racist enforcement, the redundancy of the law, and the consequences of further dividing the city while increasing the strain on police-community relations. And the only difference between last year and this year is that the penalty is 10 times higher. And so for now, people will be facing up to a $5,000 ticket, and that we see as will lead to a de facto incarceration, because those who would not be able to pay would be facing jail time. Again, on an ordinance that could easily prosecute those who are members of gangs or not.
Well, it seems just from the description that Mr. Zielinski provided in the first half hour of our broadcast that the only way that a person would get a citation and have to pay a fine is if they refused a dispersal order.
I think that is part of the ordinance says that first the officers would give an order to disperse. And then, you know, and then we'd be able to hand out tickets. But I think it goes back to the point of officers can do that already, and people are able to congregate in peaceful ways. And it kind of goes to the heart of the ordinance in these type of programs and type of legislation, once an officer determines that the people gathering in a particular place are gathering, are gathering illegally, when you have a group, it could either be people who may be engaged in criminal activity or not, but oftentimes one of the criteria is by association, and so you no longer have a situation where you do reasonable suspicion and where you go through some of the necessary policing to determine if someone is a threat to public safety and then cite and prosecute them. It's this broad sweep of we're labeling you in a place in a particular location, and we're marking this gang loitering, which is very broadly defined, And then if you choose to come back within 3 hours, or if you choose to remain in the same place, then, you know, you are still, then you are subject to the ticket. That's right. But, I mean, we're talking about very specific neighborhoods. And so chances are that these young people may disperse and probably will disperse when an officer tells them to, but chances are they will come back because that may be their neighborhood. It doesn't necessarily, just because they come back to the same location doesn't mean that they're engaging in criminal activity.
Let's take a call now from Mary Kay in Kenosha. Mary Kay in Kenosha, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. What I find works in my town is that the landlords get a ticket for a nuisance house because they're usually called for curfew violations, not in school, drug trafficking, prostitution, fighting, or vandalism, and the parent neglect, okay? So if you start off with the houses getting a ticket, these people will not congregate at these places.
You know, and that's a good point. And at the Public Safety Committee, there was a hearing on the landlord nuisance ordinance as well. And the difference really struck me in how the debate went. Like this landlord nuisance ordinance, you could tell it was years of planning. They had buy-in from the community. They had spoken with landlords. They had all the constituencies at the table to develop an ordinance that would actually work for public safety. It seemed very innovative. The city attorney's office was deeply involved. This ordinance was the opposite. If you look at it, it's essentially a photocopy from a Chicago ordinance, like literally word for word. And as anybody knows, the gang situation and numbers and organization in Chicago is much, much different than that in Milwaukee.
Mr. Zielinski was talking about a prevention of crime and about citizens wanting a stop to crime, citizens not feeling safe in their homes and not feeling safe walking down the streets because of gangs congregating in certain areas. What can you say that would make these people feel safer?
And definitely, communities deserve to be safe. And in the face of crime, you know, what we need to avoid is this type of ordinance that is, you know, failed uninformed policies of the past. I think that the situation that Mr. Zielinski describes are real concerns in the community. But an ordinance like this fails to promote a balanced approach to public safety. You can't just have an ordinance that is about lowering the threshold of crimes, creating new crimes, and enhancing penalties for people. If you really are concerned about public safety, I think the responsibility of someone in the alderman's position is to come up with with approaches that'll focus on prevention and intervention prevention and intervention to curb youth or gang violence, and not in a way that can subject innocent people, and not in a way that can subject young people who aren't affiliated with gangs, put them in a pipeline to the criminal justice system. And this is critical because what you see is if you have punitive legislation like this that puts young people in a situation where they're gaining a criminal record early, usually they'll be involved in criminal activity for a longer time. Even if, let's just say, for example, even if they are with a gang, it's seen that if a young person is with a gang, their likelihood of staying with the gang longer is if they build a criminal record. And I think that's something that young people need, that we need the city to pass ordinances that really have a balanced approach to crime and public safety, and really have an emphasis on intervening in young people and providing them the support they need not to involve in criminal activity.
We're talking about the problem of gang violence and how an anti-loitering measure might or might not affect that in a positive way. And you can join us by phone, 800-642-1234, the toll-free number to call. In Madison, it's 263-1890. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine this week on the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us. 6:47 on this Tuesday, June 12th, and we're talking this hour about an ordinance banning loitering in Milwaukee. After 11 o'clock this morning, Larry Mueller will be talking about pet care and health with Dr. Sandy Sawchuk. She is a clinical professor at the UW-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine. That's after 11 this morning here on the Ideas Network. Our guest this half hour is Matt Nelson, co-founder and spokesperson for the Milwaukee Police Accountability Coalition, and is also part of the Freedom Now Collaborative. Mr. Nelson, this type of ordinance is not exclusive to Milwaukee. I Googled this last night, and I'm not going to read the whole list, but among the other cities that have ordinances like this, Chicago is the one that you mentioned, and Mr. Zielinski mentioned in the first half hour, Colorado Springs, Colorado, Eastport, Maine, Sweeney, Texas, Madison, Wisconsin, Prince George's County, Maryland, and State College, Pennsylvania. These ordinances are all over the place, and according to what I saw, they seem to be having some success.
I mean, in Chicago, you do have a high amount of arrests, and but I think no one has really seen how its connection to reducing crime. I think we haven't seen the numbers yet in terms of the impact on the targeted population. And again, most of the people who are targeted under gang loitering ordinances are from the ages of 15 to 17. And speaking of the ordinance specifically, the person has to be identified as a gang member, and the law enforcement has 8 criteria that. According to them, you need to meet 3 of those criteria in order to be listed as a gang member. One of the problems we have with it is that those criteria are not on the ordinance itself. The public doesn't really know what they are. And there's a real question of you know, could your child fit this description and not be in a gang? And I think that those are real problems, and why the city attorney decision said that this ordinance would be very cumbersome to prosecute. And that also gets back to the judicious use of public tax dollars. Cumbersome to prosecute and cumbersome to use the law means expensive to me. Everyone should equate cumbersome to expensive when we're talking about public policy. And so I think that effect is something that will be yet to be determined. I think that what we'll see is increasing number of that particular cohort, 15 to 17-year-olds, ending up with very serious fines, and again, beginning to do jail time. Or some other sort of punitive measure that puts them, that gives them a criminal record quite early.
Well, when we were speaking with Mr. Zielinski in the first half hour, he indicated, I thought he said that there were 5 criteria and you had to meet 2 of them. I got the impression that those were part of the ordinance and that was very specific. I don't remember what all 5 were. I remember that one of them was that... 2 of them, I believe, involved being associated with a gang member, and one had to do with gang tattoos, and one indicated that a parent would have to identify their child as a member of a gang. So it sounded pretty specific in terms of how they would identify gang members.
No, I think that is the, you know, that it's not... I wouldn't call it specific. I would call it, pretty involved process. And that's why, you know, that's why the officers that will use this ordinance are officers that will receive specialized training. But I know it's the problem is that it's left to officer discretion, and that also makes it makes this type of ordinance really hard to handle. And in addition to those criteria that you have to meet to even be identified as a gang, then there's an additional criteria that the city attorney laid out in order for the ordinance to even be applicable and have a whole series of processes. And if you want to talk, again, the base of this is reducing crime. And you can't reduce crime with something that, just focuses on, is on punitive measures. And I think we know this now. We know that that these type of ordinances don't work to reduce youth crime, to reduce violence in the city. And that, I believe, is why the district attorney's office, Mr. John Chisholm, has said, I don't need this ordinance to do my job. And I think that's very critical as we're trying to figure out a policy that can actually deal with these issues. And we want to see sound and reasoned approaches that improve public safety. But this bill is going to not only enhance, I believe this bill will further strain police community relationships, further alienate young people from law enforcement, and these type of things create more danger and less safety in our community. And what you're doing, what this ordinance does essentially is layer ineffective policies on top of deep social problems and does not address some of the roots to youth violence, some of the roots of gang activity, which are economic. And we, you know, I think it's time for people to call on their city leaders to say we need a balanced approach to public safety. And we can't keep on, in this specific case, reintroducing uninformed legislation that we know will not address anything related to reducing crime. It's more young people, though. I mean, the fact.
Let's go to the phones and take another call here. This is Frank in Castle Rock. Frank, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, thank you. I agree with Mr. Nelson completely that these type of reactionary policies just target young people at an earlier age for incarceration. Our prisons and jails are just overflowing right now and completely packed with mostly nonviolent offenders. 70% of the offenders in prisons right now are nonviolent. And once they're on a track to prison and jail at an earlier age, their chances of success in the community are just become worse and worse. And also, there's been studies that as more and more men are removed from the communities in trouble, troubled communities, let's say, more and more men are removed, the crime rates go up because there's less and less money coming into the community, and it's just a spiral effect of a downward spiral that reactionaries just will find another way to punish people for the like Matt says, the economic problems that are underpinning this whole system.
Go ahead.
And that's important too, because what these ordinances do is they do make a statement on how Milwaukee is committed to addressing this problem and how Milwaukee is committed to addressing crime. And if the statements, you know, consistently are we're about Milwaukee's about enhancing penalties and creating new crimes and very punitive measures, and that sends a message to the federal government, who again, Milwaukee has an opportunity to receive federal funds for youth intervention work, youth jobs programs, restorative justice programs, and that sets the tone for how Milwaukee would spend federal money dealing with crime. And I think that we have to send a message saying Milwaukee is committed to addressing the underlying issues and social concerns and conditions that cause crime. and Milwaukee. And I think then we'll be able to get federal dollars to put behind deep and real solutions. And so that is very critical in terms of how we frame in our city this issue and how we're going to respond to our youth. Are we going to respond to the youth with jobs and with economic stability, or are we going to respond to the youth with jails and $5,000 tickets?
We have about a minute left. This ordinance appears to be headed for passage, according to Mr. Zielinski, and he thinks the mayor's going to sign it. What can you do about it?
I think definitely people need to call their aldermen. They need to call the mayor and call Common Council President Willie Hines. And I think Mr. Zielinski, like last year, somewhat overestimates his support. Again, the district attorney doesn't support it. I think the mayor, if anything, is waiting to see what the sense of the council is. And if no individual common council person has said that they would change their vote from last year, and if that's the case, we're looking at a 7-7 tie, and the ordinance fails. But I do think it is very close.
Okay, well, we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you for joining us this morning. Matt Nelson, co-founder and spokesperson for the Milwaukee Police Accountability Commission, and is also part of the Freedom Now Collaborative. This program was produced by Leo Duran, with on-air production provided by Christy Taylor. If you'd like a copy of it, you can call the radio store at 800-747-7444. Ask for program 612A, as in Apple. I'm John Munson, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.